and welcome to episode 39 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Francisco Gonzalez, sometimes referred to as Grundislav by people in the know. And with me as always...
Hello, Grundislav.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. Who are you?
Me? I'm the co-host. The other co-host. You can't have just one co-host. That's the whole point of the word co. In the co-host.
I didn't even call you a co-host. I said with me as always, and I was waiting for you to introduce yourself. But again, you're being cryptic and mysterious and not telling people who you are, even though everyone knows who you are.
I'm like a man of mystery. No, they don't know, don't tell them. this is my MO, my modus operandi. Okay. Or is it modus operandi?
It's modus operandi, I think.
I see. Well, I don't care. This is my MO.
Yes. Well, me as always is my good friend Benji Catbutt, and
incorrect. But I'll leave it a mystery as to my correct identity.
I see. Okay. Anyway, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty great, actually.
Good. What have you been up to?
What
have you been doing?
Man.
What's happening?
Well, let's see. I've been crunching away at my game.
On tortilla chips?
No, I don't have any tortilla chips. But if I had a Nestle Crunch bar, that would be amazing.
Mm.
Those are good. Have you ever had those?
No.
Really? Do they not have them in Australia? I forgot to look for them
while
I was there.
I don't know. I just don't recall ever seeing them. But who knows if they're a thing or not.
Oh, well, they're great. They're chocolate with puffed rice in them, so when you bite on them, they're crunchy and crispy.
Oh, I like the chocolate puffed rice.
Yeah, it's tasty. Anyway.
And yet you don't like Cocoa Pops.
Well, cereal puffed rice, it's not, it's different. It's not puffed rice chocolate flavored. Anyway, I don't like Cocoa Pops because they make the milk too sweet. But we're getting off on ridiculous tangents, and we haven't even gotten to 5 minutes yet. This is a new low for us, I think.
I don't care. Nobody cares.
You're right. No one does care. But anyway, yeah, I've sort of been in sort of a mini crunch mode for my game because GDC is coming up.
You're off to GDC next week.
Yeah, I'm off to GDC this coming Wednesday, which is in 5 days. And, 4 days from the time this podcast goes up.
Not many of our listeners are going, probably, so...
Yeah, probably not. Well, if any of our listeners are going, they should shout out and say hello. And come by and...
You'll be on Twitter the whole time, won't you?
Probably.
Well, there you go.
I mean...
Easy to find.
Most of the time. Anyway,
sure.
What was that?
Anyway. Yeah, not while you're sleeping or anything like that.
Oh, no. Not while I'm sleeping and not while I'm out drinking and debauching.
Is that why you go to GDC? Not for, you know... Meeting up with fellow like-minded, you know...
No, I'm only going for the social aspect. I'm only going to meet up with fellow like-minded people and get drunk with them and then tell them about my game.
Fair enough.
That's essentially why I'm going. I'm not going to any talks because I'm not interested in any of the ones that I have access to.
You're like, I already know how to make games.
It's not just that. It's just the ones that you get on the Expo Pass are not exactly the most interesting ones. If I had an all-access pass, I would go to the LucasArts post-mortem just out of interest. But
okay, I think Chris might be going to that.
Yeah, I believe Chris is going to that one. Lucky Good. Chris. Well, see, there's a listener of our podcast who's going to GDC.
No, we've got a few. We've got a few listeners.
Chris Lapine, who I now know how to pronounce his last name correctly.
Oh, did you ask him?
Yeah, I asked him, and he knew what I was going to ask him before I asked him, which was pretty funny.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I was talking to him and found out last night that he likes Jagged Alliance 2, but never finished it. Listen to me now, Chris. You can do it. if I did it, you can do it.
And as a special request and reference to our conversation that only he will get, Chris, if you don't finish Jagged Alliance 2, you should probably jump off a building.
True.
That's
fair.
Just kill yourself.
It's fair. I'm not saying you're being unfair. I'm saying it's a fair thing to say.
Anyhow.
Yeah. What else have you... How is Assassin's Creed 4? You told me that the piratey bits... You tell me that the piratey bits are not as good as Sid Meier's Pirates.
Yeah, but
upsets me.
Getting ahead of me. I haven't finished talking about crunching yet.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Really?
We're jumping.
How much crunching can you do?
Well, I just wanted to say that the reason I'm in sort of mini crunch mode and I'm getting a lot of animations done is because I'm taking my laptop along. See, in addition to this year being the first year I'm going to GDC where I actually have like a commercial game to show off, this is a year of firsts. It's my first year going with an actual game to show off, and it's also my first year having a laptop. So I'm going to take my laptop along, and I'm going to show my game to anyone who passes by and is willing to sit down and look at it. But I want to have the prologue more or less feature complete and animation complete. So there's a few animations in the prologue, so I want to get that taken care of, and that's why I've been crunching. But yes, I have been playing Assassin's Creed 4, and I have been enjoying it quite a bit. It's fun because I remember them saying that you were gonna have the sort of open world sea and pirating thing available from pretty much the very beginning of the game, which isn't entirely true because of course they always have to set things up.
You need a prologue.
Yeah, you definitely. It's not like Assassin's Creed 3 where there was a good like 5 hours of gameplay before you actually even started playing as Connor. So you
disgusting.
I see where they were trying to do, but the execution wasn't all that great. But anyway, so yeah, after about like an hour and a half or so of gameplay here, of kind of tutorial and on the rails sort of teaching you stuff, they let you go and let you loose in the Caribbean, and you can go around and you know, attack forts and attack ships and plunder and stuff. And the ship combat's fun. But yeah, it's different because I mean Sid Meier's Pirates, obviously, you know, you have the top down view and you have
excellent.
Yeah, you have a nice top down view. Whereas here you have a third person behind the ship's wheel view as you're fighting. And as you pan around the ship, for example, if you tilt your if you turn the camera towards the broadside or starboard or port side of the ship, you yeah, that's right. I'm nautical. I've been on boats. Anyway,
boats. The ships.
Well, I've never been on a ship. I have been on a cruise ship. I've never been on a galleon.
A galleon. I have. I've actually been on like an old time sailing ship.
Yeah, wait. So have I. And then it sank. Not while I was on it. Not while I was on it. I'll tell you that story later. Anyway, so. But anyway, yeah. If you're looking towards the left or the right side of the ship, it lets you just fire your cannons, your standard cannons. If you look towards the back of the ship, you fire fire barrels, and if you look towards the front, you fire chain shots. So you kind of have to be tactically swiveling the camera around to choose your weapons, which is an odd choice.
You don't get grape shots so you can take their sails out?
Well, the chain shot is basically their equivalent of grape shot.
But chain shot's for taking the masts out.
Yeah, the chain shot is basically to take down their sails and their masts. You don't get specific grape shot to do their sails. It's not as involved as Sid Meier's, I'm telling you.
That's yeah.
I mean, it's still a challenge because a lot of ships attack you and then some of them ram you, and ramming does a hell of a lot of damage and stuff. But I mean, yeah, overall the ship combat's fun, but it's still an Assassin's Creed game, so the focus is being on land. I will say though that it is really fun to sail around and just go to islands and search for stuff and dig for treasure. There's a little treasure map thing which is very similar to Red Dead Redemption where you have to find the place.
Lovely.
Yeah, you have to find the place and then based on the drawing on the map you have to find the location, and that's pretty rewarding.
That's one of the best parts of Red Dead Redemption. I think I've already said on the podcast, I'd like a game of just that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot more of that in Assassin's Creed 4.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And there's also... what was the other thing? That's about it. The only complaint that I have, which is kind of a nitpick, is... The story kind of establishes, like, the character's interesting because unlike the other games, he doesn't start off as an assassin. He's just a pirate who happens to be a descendant of the assassin's line from the other games. But he's not an assassin. So, I mean, he has all the assassin skills, but he's not actively an assassin. So he kind of assumed he runs into an assassin at the very beginning who he kills, and then he takes his clothes because he finds a note saying, "Oh, come to Havana and we'll give you your prize," or whatever. So he's basically being a good pirate and just stealing the guy's identity just for the riches and stuff. But then, as the story progresses, he joins the assassins. But before you join the assassin, you have the option to do side quests of assassin contracts, which seems a bit strange because he doesn't know about them yet. And I
I see.
understand that they want to have everything open from the beginning, but it just seems like, it would be a more interesting design decision or a more appropriate design decision. I can never say design decision. It always twists me up with the S's. Just to unlock it as story appropriate, but whatever. It's still a fun game, and I've been enjoying it. And my favorite part is the sea shanties. That's really a clever touch.
Well, sea
Because
shanties are good. I think that.
you have to collect them, actually. You don't start off with all the sea shanties. You go around collecting pages, and when you collect new shanties, your crew sings new shanties, which is fun.
Didn't Pirates Gold have sea shanties? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if Pirates Gold did, but I know that the remake of Sid Meier's Pirates, sometimes when you plunder the ship, they would sing
Yeah.
Drunken Sailor in gibberish, which was pretty funny.
Which is excellent.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
So
good.
you've been enjoying it, basically.
I have been enjoying it very much, and it's
Okay.
beautiful. It's really pretty.
Okay, well that's good.
It's
One
definitely.
sort of ex one sort of expects as much from an Assassin's Creed game. Even the first game was very pretty.
Yeah, but it's interesting because it's a brand new environment. So the sky is very blue and the water is very turquoise and very pretty, like the Caribbean is.
One thing I always liked about the 3D remake of Pirates, especially, is that it's just fun to sail. Like, beyond all the action and all the fighting and everything like that, it's fun to just be in your little ship and the wind's pushing you along and you're clipping along. It feels good. You're bouncing over the waves. It feels good, you know?
Yeah, they kind of that's it's a fun feeling to do that in Assassin's Creed 4 as well.
Good.
And to use your
Good.
spyglass and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good feeling. You get your little game going and you get your little boat going and you're just like, yeah, this is good.
Sometimes you just
This is.
feel like, And then it's cool 'cause you get like an island hideout, so whenever you feel like you get a lot of money, you can go to your island hideout and spend the money on like whores and stuff. So it's pretty fun.
Goodness. Goodness, what are these games teaching you, children?
Well, pirates were nasty.
Not sure.
It's not all Secret of Monkey Island, happy-go-lucky
I
pirates of the
know.
Caribbean. Pirates were rapists and murderers.
Well, I realize that. That's the whole.
Anyway.
Anyway, we've talked about Assassin's Creed 4
Yeah.
enough, I think.
Yeah, we have. Tell me what you've been playing. You've been playing a lot of
I've been
stuff.
man, I've been playing everything. So I'm not going to dwell on anything because
Give
that would be
us
ridiculous to
the
take me
Reader's
for.
Digest version.
Okay, I'm going for the hat trick.
Okay.
2 nights ago, I finished Syndicate, which was made by Starbreeze, which our friend and friend of the podcast, Joel Stuff-Hasto, actually worked on it. So that was fun. I enjoyed it.
Good.
It got a lot of criticism from people, and I can see why, but I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And it's quite stylish and fun, and that. It's just a little short. And then last night, as you know, I finished Singularity on PC, which is great. It's a fantastic shooter. Honestly, really, really good. I loved it. So there's that. And then now I'm playing Sin. So I'm trying to go for the Syndicate, Singularity, Sin, hat trick, triple whammy, bam,
I didn't even
gotcha.
realize that.
Neither did I until Ilyich pointed it out to me because I watched the Sin OVA, which is awful, but really pretty. And so I was like, well, now that I've seen this, I should finish the game. So I'm going for it. I'm going for it. And then I'll have the hat trick, and then my life will be amazing. And I played and finished Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, which was fun. It's not as good as Hotline Miami, but it's better than Duke Nukem Forever. That's my summary of that. I also played a lot of Tower of Guns, which is good. and I finished it a couple of times, but it's you can finish it real quick if you can finish it.
Okay.
I also finished SteamWorld Dig, which I was playing the last time we podcasted. I finished that. It's good. What else have I finished? I don't know.
What are you playing right now?
I'm playing Sin.
All right, okay.
I told you. That's what I'm going for.
All right. I didn't realize.
It's actually got an underwater level, and I love underwater bits.
Is that where you are right now?
Correct.
I see. Good. Oh, I should also mention that I played another game. I played an AGS game made by one of our listeners and friend of the podcast, Natalie Rusulka. Lorna Baines, The Coming of Age, which is...
Good. How was it?
It was actually pretty entertaining. It was, you know, it's short. It's a one-room, actually two-room game, really.
Well, it's their first game. Second game.
Well, they put out one game one day after the other, which I thought was kind of interesting. I didn't play
the
second
game. That's how you do it.
Yeah. But
why settle for one game?
Yeah, it's obviously a prologue to a bigger project, but it was pretty well done. I have to admit that it was fully voice acted, which was amusing. It was very much a comedic take on the Laura Bo series, and there was some couple of parts that actually made me laugh out loud.
It's a parody or a fan game or both.
It's a parody because the main character Lorna Baines she wants to intern with Laura Bo, who's a reporter. So it's obviously in the it's in the same universe, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fun little game. Check it out. It doesn't take very long to play. I mean, if you want to be really detailed, they did a lot of work and put in a lot of custom messages and responses and like looking at the body and stuff. You can do all sorts of terrible things to it.
Good.
Like smell.
That's what we like from our games.
Yeah.
Ever since I played Soldier of Fortune, that's what I want.
Yeah. The butt.
The ability to ruin
the guy's
bodies.
The guy's butt is a separate hotspot.
It should be.
Unfortunately, there's no inventory, so you can't like stick things up the guy's butt.
I'm learning more about you every day.
No. That's not my thing.
Clearly not.
I don't like... Look, this isn't that kind of podcast. We don't need to talk about our... This is kinks, okay?
Well, I wasn't.
Okay,
and then
good.
He came along and I don't even know what's what anymore.
Listen, I think we should move on to our topic of...
I agree. I agree. Man, I had way more games to cover than you and I got through them in way less time. I'm efficient.
You are efficient, but yeah.
Let's do this.
Okay, so...
By the way, anybody, if you played Half-Life 2 and you're like... I should play something that's like Half-Life 2. And you haven't played Singularity, play Singularity. It's cool.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so this week we are going to discuss a problem which sometimes arises when you're making a game, especially when you're making a full-length game for purposes of either freeware or commercial. More so, it's more of a problem when you are making a commercial game, I think, because you have time and budget constraints. But basically, we're going to talk about cutting things from your game and when it's a good idea and how you can decide to do those sorts of things.
Because... I think the best time to cut something from your game, just saying, like, just summing it all up before we go into detail, a general statement is when the bit that you're cutting sucks. And so get rid of that at that point. And you're pretty much on the home straight.
Your infinite wisdom never ceases to amaze me.
I know.
I don't understand why you're not living at the top of a Tibetan mountaintop right now. Honestly.
How do you know I'm not?
Because...
Maybe that's why my internet's so bad. Continue.
Is your Tibetan mountaintop white and furry with a stripy tail?
No, he's asleep. He's currently a guest on the podcast.
Well, you could still sit on top of him and get people to ask for advice.
I could. Well, I could, but he's quite small and I'm quite large.
Mount Gumbry. Yes.
And that'd be sad. Anyway, continue. Yeah.
Well, we've both made quite a few games. You've made short games, so I don't think you've really had to I don't know that you've had to really cut much from your shorter games, but.
Okay, let me just say this. Short games don't end up as short games unless you learn to cut.
Okay.
It's that simple. Because
Well,
everybody
then, there
gets
you
an
go.
idea and goes, "It's gonna be the best game ever," in exactly that voice. I want to clarify.
Yeah, that's the
And
standard adventure game developer voice. I know it well.
that's, yeah, you do it. I do it. Every
Sure.
man, that's the done thing. So yeah,
If you don't do that voice, you should just shoot yourself in the foot.
here's a gun.
I don't.
And a shoe remover.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about anybody that needs it. It's
Okay,
there.
then.
I'm here
Yeah,
for them.
I was confused because I've done the voice. Anyway, moving on. Yes. Yeah, cutting
Yeah.
stuff from your game from a freeware perspective. Let's talk about that first.
From a freeware perspective, all right, if you're making your first game, a lot of the times you're going to have, hey, this is my game, this is my idea. It's the most amazing idea anybody's ever had. It's going to change the world of gaming, and it's going to be a 68-part series, or it's going to be a, 14-chapter game. No,
Yeah.
it's not. It's
No.
not going to get finished.
No,
That
it's.
is the truth.
Yep.
Most of the time. Sometimes no. Sometimes Ben's wrong. He's allowed to be wrong. He's only human. But he's also allowed to talk about himself in the third person, apparently. That's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, you I this is one thing that I think I was quite strong at, especially, is learning to take my ideas, cut them down to this something I can make, not this is something that's going to be a project that's too big for me and give up. Because my first number of games were all too big for me, and I didn't have the skills to like pull it together, and I was still learning. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to make the best game ever, and it's going to be the longest thing, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be the longest journey that people have ever played. And I had these big sort of, this is going to be the one. No, it's not the one. You've got a million ideas in your head. Well,
Yeah.
I do,
I think.
So you learn to go, no, that's actually not fun. Cut that part out.
I think the problem with having that mindset too is that you really don't go into a game thinking, oh, this is going to be too much for me. Because if you're going to make a game, you're pretty idealistic in the first place. So you're going to be
Correct.
going in thinking, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be easy. But then when you get down
Unless
to
you're Ilyich. Unless you're Ilyich, and then put you're like, oh, this
it.
I won't even start. Sorry, Ilyich, but it's true. It's like, oh, I know I'll never make this. Uh-oh. Who cares?
Well, in any
It
case,
would probably suck anyway. Which is wrong. Make your game, Ilyich.
yeah. Well, yeah. Or unless you're also, well, let's not name check people. But yeah, I think
I
that.
will.
All right. Well, if you're Stephen Bolton, you'll also be like, "Oh, this won't be
Sure.
good enough."
Continue.
He didn't listen to our podcast. Anyway, yeah. So the thing is that if you go into your game and you think that it's going to be great, and then you sit down, and when you realize how much you have to do, I think probably what would help people is make a list of all the stuff you need to do. And if it's super overwhelming, then you know you need to cut back.
Didn't I talk about making a list on the last podcast?
You always talk about making lists.
Yeah, because it's essential.
It is essential. I made a list, and I'm going through my list right now of all the animations I have to do.
You made a list? I'm so proud of you.
I told you I made a list.
I don't listen to anything you say when we're not on the podcast. I'm just going, yep. Oh, cool.
Explains so much.
Sorry.
Anyway,
My
yes.
time is precious, man. What do you think? I'm your friend or something? Continue.
Think you're a cat, that's what I think.
No.
Yes.
You've voiced this opinion, this
I have.
incorrect opinion, which is cute but incorrect. But yeah,
Yeah.
you do, like, I personally, people are like, oh, Ben, how do you do it? You've done all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. That's rubbish, man. I had so much trouble finishing games when I first started, and so I chose to design games that I could finish. That's
Yeah.
why my game started really short. Look at my first ever game that I made by myself. Shoot, I Got Abducted, which you can finish in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a project that I can stick with. that I know I'll finish.
Well,
Because
look at.
my art's terrible, I've got no technique, and everything I'm just guessing when it comes to art or coding. So I need something small so I can learn.
I think it's
That was
funny that you
yeah.
say that about Shoot, I Got Abducted, which is a pretty decent looking game, even by today's standards, because the character sprite is, he looks good. There's some fun lighting effects. I was impressed by the lighting effects when I played it back in the
I
day.
remember you said that to me on IRC. I was like, wow, Grunderslav is proud of my coding, but he's a real developer. If he really saw my code, he'd be like, oh, that sucks. And now I know that you'd be see it and be like, you wouldn't be like that at all because I've seen your code. So I had a high opinion of you, man.
What do you mean, had?
I was like,
How dare you?
this guy's probably a really amazing, like, neat
Well,
coder. And
I
then
had a high opinion of you too, remember? I was like, oh, this
yes, you
guy's
did.
really deep and philosophical.
He's really serious. He's a really deep guy.
I'm glad
He's
you
like,
realized that that wasn't the case in either case.
wow, man, everything's changed.
Has it?
Yeah,
Well,
you
anyway.
know I'm not deep and serious.
Oh, of course I do. Anyway, and you know my code is terrible.
It's messy,
And
I'll say that much.
I probably wouldn't be able to figure out how to do those lighting effects back then anyway.
Didn't I show you how to do them recently?
Probably.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I don't pay attention to when you tell me how to code things.
I know. I've noticed.
But anyway, yeah, so Shoot, I Got Abducted still looks nice. Whereas
Thank you.
if you play the first Ben Jordan game, that looks like a child with a crayon drew it. Let me look at those trees. Ugh.
I haven't looked at it for. You showed me the other day, and I hadn't looked at it for a while, and it made me giggle.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So.
It's terrible. But then again, I made it in 2004, so it was, yeah, almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
But I started off making the Ben Jordan games, and I made the first three in a year, and I was just like, yeah, maybe I'll go somewhere with this. And then when I finally sat down and decided how many I wanted to do, yeah, there were times where I got really ambitious, and there was stuff I had to cut from games. And looking back at my original design documents for each game, there was a bunch of stuff that, like, yeah, it was either too much or just too difficult or just stupid. So I ended up cutting things.
Okay, well, I think that's very important. It's not as much from a quality point of view, but well, I mean that too, but also just yeah, just manageability, just doability. How much you know you can do. Start small, and if you don't want to start small, that's fine. Maybe you as a designer can handle a big old game, but I know I sure couldn't. And now, like even when I started Blackwell Epiphany, I remember like, Dave was like, it was like, oh, Ben, do you want to do the backgrounds this time around? Because Indrek had to pull out of the project, sadly. And I was like, oh, I guess I can try. How many backgrounds do you want? And he's like, probably 40 or 50. And I was like, I think I can handle that. It wasn't 40 or 50 backgrounds. It was more than that by a fair way. But now I'm just like, whatever, bring the backgrounds on, bring them. Because I've had time to get used to a technique. Because at the start of doing Blackwell, which was the start of last year, or the end of the year before, it's been just over a year. I had no idea how to draw like realistic-y stuff. Like by realistic, I mean like real world stuff. Not all people have glowing eyes and trees are wonky, and I don't need actual buildings, except. And so it was a big thing for me to go. Oh, am I gonna be able to stick with a game for 40 or 50 scenes? Yes, apparently I am, because I did. I got to the point where now I'm just like, well, bring on the backgrounds, dude. On the project I'm working now, which is sort of similar in style, I just said to them, they were talking about backgrounds, and I'm like, oh, dude, if you need to add an extra scene, don't worry about it. It's just another background. Who cares? That's a few hours. You develop your skills to a point where you know how long a thing will take you, and that's when you can start going, all right, let's get ambitious. Let's throw some extra stuff in here.
Well, that happened to me just last night, actually. I was up at 3 a.m. finishing
You were.
up an animation, as I usually am up at 3 a.m. And I had just started putting stuff together. I had spent most of yesterday making custom logos for my for Grundislav Games as well as my publisher, and I thought, well, you know, it's probably a good I probably should have a more interesting title screen than I do now, because I mean, obviously I just had a placeholder title screen with the game's logo and whatever, but then I thought, well, what can I, you know, what can I put as a title screen? And then I thought, well, why don't I just have an animated title screen with a, you know, just to kind of set the scene and make it interesting and kind of draw, you know, draw the player in from the get-go. Because the game starts off in New York, in snowy, wintry New York, and I thought it'd be pretty cool to have this as a sort of thing. And there's a bit in the very first conversation you have when you get into the first chapter of the game. There's a conversation that you have with a character where he mentions a billboard in Times Square, and the main character's like, "Oh yeah, that was partly the reason that I came down here." So I thought, well, why not show it? So now my title screen is a view of Times Square. And I know you've seen pictures. Times Square is big.
It's
and
big.
Complex. And has a lot of lights and buildings and signs. And
even in the 20s, things. Apparently.
Yeah. Not so much in the 20s, but it still did in the 20s. And so I looked up an old picture, and I found a suitable old picture, and I thought, this would make a nice title screen. But then when I was sort of thinking about the logistics of it, I was like, this is really... I mean, I've done all my backgrounds. This is going to be another background. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting in over my head here. But I sat down, I started sketching it out, I finished drawing it, and I think I would say in total it probably took me about 2 hours, which is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks decent, and it serves its purpose. So yeah, it's you get to a point where you can kind of, if you're lucky enough, you can do stuff like that.
I don't think it's just luck. Luck's a silly thing to rely on.
Yeah, I guess. But the,
it is.
One of the things, I mean, this is a good example to talk about if you have the luxury to be your own or the main person developing your game. But you, for example, I mean, you can do backgrounds fairly quickly. And like you said, you have no problem if there's extra stuff to be done. You can get something done fairly quickly.
Sure. But
if you're working on a commercial game, for example, where you have a budget and you're not necessarily doing the backgrounds and you have an artist who you have to pay for each background, like Vince, for example, with Resonance.
Sure.
If you have to pay an artist to do a background and end up having to cut it, that's money down the drain. So you have to be a lot more careful about choices and what from the get-go you think will work and things
like that.
I think
you learn to economize as well.
Yeah, there's also that.
Dave would always say, like, oh, no, I don't want to add that. That's more assets. You know, I got to pay for more stuff. It's, you know, it's just adding extra crap to the game that
right.
doesn't really need it. But now, you know, Dave's like, well, let's add this extra stuff to the game. Let's feel free to just
right, because
know.
He has the luxury to do that because he has a full-time artist. But, for example,
right.
he's talked on this podcast about in Convergence how he had to cut the sequence with the Times, you know, he had a background of Times Square, too. And he was paying top dollar, but he was paying pretty.
It was good
price.
Money.
Yeah, it was good money for those backgrounds. So having to cut backgrounds is a difficult choice in that case.
Yeah,
but
he's
yeah.
like he said, he still used part of it.
Yeah,
part
he
of
managed.
That,
he
part
managed
of that
to
sequence.
Yeah, he managed to salvage some of it, and that's an important thing to be able to do too. But kind of analyzing your losses and recovering your losses.
Yeah. You learn to economize quite well.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I know in Dave's case, a lot of the times he'll reuse animations because he's just used to reusing animations, you know, rather than having a specific one for each thing. He'll just reuse stuff because he's like, well, he's been doing that for ages. Instead of having 16 different pickup animations for every single different thing, which is something I've done in games that I've made, you know, Dave will just use the same thing over and over again because he knows it works.
Yeah. But another important thing, I think, is you have to learn how to let go because
That's correct.
It's
very true.
It's very easy to say, to have that attitude of, no, I paid money for this, I'm not going to let it go. Even if it doesn't, I mean, if it doesn't work and you put it out there and people test it and they don't like it and just it doesn't work, you know, it's sometimes you just have to sit back and say, okay, well, I guess it's just not going to work. I thought it sounded good on paper, but, or it read well on paper because paper doesn't talk. And it just doesn't work. So
yeah,
it's a tough choice to make, but sometimes it has to be made. Or other times, I haven't experienced this yet, but I'm sure I will. I'm expecting that at some point when I get feedback about the game, that it'll be like, you know, well, there's this bit that probably should get cut, and I'll say, no, I love this bit. And I'll have to cut.
It'll happen. It happens to everyone.
Yeah. So I'm psychologically prepared for that. Even though there's a section right now which I already know is going to get either cut or redesigned. So.
But that's of your own. That's of your own
that's
accord,
of,
rather than
that,
someone else playing. But yeah.
That's of your own accord. But yeah.
you kind of have to get used to it. It's hard taking on like criticism, like testers say, oh, you should, because that's another thing. If testers don't like something and they don't get it, it's probably not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, you're either going to have to tweak it or you're going to have to cut it. And a lot of the times there'll be stuff that you just it just will not work no matter what.
Yeah.
And that stuff has to go. It seemed like a good idea in your head maybe, but it's, you know, that stuff you got to get used to the idea that, you know, not all of your ideas are perfect, and that there'll be stuff that just has to go. We recently, a project I'm working on, there was actually a gameplay bit that I really like personally, but it had been explained to me before I played it, you know?
Mm.
So I understood it implicitly, and I enjoy it, and the testers just aren't getting it. They're just not getting it, so it's gone.
Okay.
For now, you know? Until it can get... I'm kind of sad to see it go.
Mm.
But I understand why it had to go, because just if something's not fun in a game, you know, when you're playing it, you're like, this just doesn't work, you know? So it's a shame that gets to that point, but it will happen, and that's time to cut. But yeah, other times I know Dave's had ideas, like when we're working on Blackwell or something like that, ideas that he's wanted to work in. And talked about it and going, I wonder if I can get away with this or if I can do this. And there'll just be a thing where, just as a writer, you have this idea, go, oh, wouldn't it be neat if I can do that? But it turns out that doing something that's a little neat would actually compromise, you know, the believability or the enjoyability of the story. And then you have to cut it.
Yeah.
You have to say to yourself, you know what, that's a fun idea. But the interesting thing about ideas is, they're not static. They can be reused, man.
Sure.
An idea that you had 15 years ago is still relevant if you can find a spot to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always about the idea, but how well it works in a particular context, you know? It's what we talk about, idea versus execution. Sometimes it just doesn't fit. An idea that seems like a great idea to you just doesn't fit in a particular spot.
Mm.
So yeah, keep that in mind. You might have your little precious idea and it seems lovely and you're like, oh, I need to use it in my game. I need to use it. But ideas keep. They don't go off.
Yeah, just because you have to get rid of it in one game doesn't mean it's gone forever.
That's true.
So I'm curious about something. You've made lots of games.
Yeah.
I think. I've never played any of them. But can you think of any games where you had an idea that seemed great and then when you thought about it more you were just like, oh my god, what was I thinking? And you got rid of it?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Dude, I've had bits of games that I built and then cut.
Like what?
Oh, well, for example, in Pissed there is actually about 3,500 words of unused script, like actual dialogue pertaining to one part of the game. There's a whole bunch of scenes and stuff that just never made it into the game.
Wow.
There was a second hub area, a second world actually, like the first, and it had to go.
Hmm.
For a start, I was on a time limit, as you know. You know, it was, I had a pretty serious time limit, and then beyond that, I couldn't make it work like I wanted to. It wasn't fun, and it was dull. I built all this stuff, and then I played it, and as a player, I didn't even wait for anybody to test it. I just went, you know what? This just isn't fun. You get to the point where you go, what is this? There's certain types of things that you can identify, whether it's, you know, it's padding, or it's an info dump, or any of these sort of, you know, not quite great things that we tend to put in as a designer thinking we're doing the right thing, and we're not doing the right thing. You know, so, yeah, you get used to identifying stuff. You know, it might, like I said, it might be padding, it might be an info dump. It might be a thing that you thought would play great in your head, but doesn't translate to game mechanics well. But yeah, I cut a huge chunk of piss. I cut a fairly big part of Shifter's box. Yeah. And other times I just cut little bits that I thought, oh, this would be great. And I go, no, you know what? I can't get this to work. That code's gone. That's out. That art's deleted. That's fine. Hmm. What about you?
Yeah, well, I had a... In Ben Jordan 5, there was going to be a whole sequence towards the end where he had to infiltrate the big bad guy's compound and kind of... It was a lot more detailed than it ended up being in the game. He was going to have to, like, find rooms of, like, zombie people and stuff like that. And there was going to actually be a martial arts thing where I wanted him to learn martial arts so he could fight zombies. And
well, that's disappointing that you didn't do that.
Yeah, well, it was
although really, it would have really been so cheesy.
It really would have been. I was already getting close to crossing the line, if not already crossing the line with the Japanese game show. So
I love the Japanese, don't you dare talk ill of that.
Happy Magic Fun Show almost got cut, but it didn't. Because that was one of the things that I felt needed to be in there in my cultural depiction of Japan. In my design document, it's one of the things is Ben goes on crazy Japanese game show. So, yeah. I think I also cut a bit...
Man, the Francisco Gonzalez that I know wouldn't cut that part. I know you.
Yeah, well... You do, but sometimes you have to do stuff for artistic integrity or lack of artistic integrity. But there was also, in Case 6, actually, there was going to be playing more to the Greek myths, too, at the end when Ben was diving to the sea people's lair. There was going to be a bit where the potion wore off and he almost drowns. And while he's in sort of his...
His watery stupor.
Yeah, his watery stupor. He sort of has like a vision of Mount Olympus and like some guardian talking to him. It was going to be more of like the, oh, Ben has a guardian thing. But yeah, it was kind of dumb. I had been playing God of War at the time, and at the end of God of War, you had to go to Mount Olympus, and I was like, wow, that'd be really cool to put in, but luckily I didn't.
I think you made the right call on that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, I say think, but...
You know.
I know.
You just don't like God of War. That's all.
No, I enjoyed the God of War. I enjoyed the God of War game that I played, which was God of War 2.
Of it that you
no, played? I finished it.
Oh, did you? Oh.
Yes.
Wow, I'm sorry.
I did do.
It had a shitty cliffhanger ending.
That I was don't like, care about
hey, everybody, buy a PS3. That's why I bought a PS3.
It is not.
It seriously is. That was one of the major deciding factors as to why I bought a PS3 and not a 360. Is because I wanted to play God of War 3.
Hmm. Well, I've played enough and games that never got sequels with terrible cliffhanger endings that I'm just like, whatever.
Okay. Can I make a confession?
Like, well, as long as you don't mind everybody that listens to our podcast ever hearing it and knowing it. It's up to you, dude.
When the PS4 and Xbox One came out, I thought, I'm not going to go to the next generation.
Told me there's yourself. No, you said, yeah. I'm not going to get one.
I said, I'm not going to get one because there's no
In fact,
games.
I talked about getting one, and you said, Really?
Yeah.
You were genuinely surprised.
I was genuinely surprised. I mean, you don't need one now because you have a good gaming PC.
It's great.
So it's probably better than the PS4, actually.
Yeah.
Or the Xbox One.
I'll be
But,
honest though, I've heard I want to get a better gamepad.
Yeah, mine, the left analog stick is kind of funky on mine. But anyway, my confession is that
I'm ready.
lately there's a couple of games that I've heard about and seen that have kind of tipped me
Don't talk
over.
slowly like it changes your sin. Don't try and hide this. We all know what it is. Say it.
I've seen some games lately that have tipped me in the direction of maybe considering getting a PS4 in the future.
Say this. I want a PlayStation 4, Ben. I was wrong.
No, I don't want a PlayStation 4. And I'm not wrong. I might consider getting a PlayStation 4 in the future if
You saying that is
certain
like me
games come
saying
out.
I might consider eating my own body weight in delicious treats.
I've seen this happen.
Everybody knows that there's no might about it. It's gonna happen.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like eventually the Earth will be swallowed by the sun or something. It'll
It's an
happen if
eventuality.
it's an eventuality. I just don't know when it'll happen. I can tell you this, it won't happen anytime in the near future. How's
Right.
that?
Well, you're on the indie gamer trip, so you're saving your money. That's all understandable.
Yeah, there's that. But
But
I'd be lying if I said it hadn't crossed my mind that if I make good money from my first game, I might buy a PlayStation 4.
okay. Does anybody make good money from their first game?
No.
I
So
didn't.
there you go.
I didn't make my
Eventuality.
kiss. So
Eventuality.
yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta start
Yeah.
somewhere.
Well, maybe our joint game will make better enough money to buy me a PlayStation 4.
Are you gonna be like, Ben, we need to finish this so I can get that sweet, sweet PS4.
If I do, you have your f my full permission to somehow virtually slap me, or
Can
slap
you
me.
first?
You have my permission to slap me in the face next time you see me.
Okay. That's fair.
But only if I say that.
Okay. I'll write it down time and day
Okay.
so I know.
Good.
But let's talk about cutting things from games more.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
So you've been toying with the idea of cutting something recently, and it's
Yes.
something that I think that we should bring to light, and it's the idea of an action sequence.
Arcade sequence, really.
What else? Arcade is
Yes.
action, dude,
Potato,
seriously.
potato. Yeah.
Who
You're right.
cares what it's?
It's all
But
semantics.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's a lot of times when you play an adventure game, and not just an adventure game, but other games. But we're talking about adventure games because we're adventure gaming guys, and
Yes. Our lives are adventures.
they really are kind of dull ones. I
I don't know about yours, but my life's an adventure every day. I get out of bed
mean.
and I'm like, pick nose. Use toothbrush on mouth.
We are learning a lot. But yeah, a lot of times you'll be like, hey, do you know what would make my game great? What if there was a first person shooter bit in the middle of a point and click adventure game?
Oh, like in Hopkins FBI.
And you go, okay, cool, I've done that. That's in the game. I did it, I finished it.
Yeah.
Here's a problem. Here's a really serious thing. An action bit or an arcade bit or whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't care what you want to call it. It requires a lot of programming and a lot of balancing to make it feel right,
Yes,
in the
it
game.
does.
If you put an extra segment in your game, whether it's like a strategy bit or whatever, I don't care. It can be anything. If you put that in your game and you just rush it in and really don't think it through, it's gonna stand out real bad. You're gonna have really balanced mechanics of one nature,
Yeah.
and then you're gonna get to the next bit and go, this clearly wasn't thought through.
Well,
This
it's like all the
does.
people who complained about the combat sequences in Dreamfall.
That's a fair complaint,
Yeah,
too.
with good reason. They were
That was
clunky.
terrible.
They were awful.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of people cite that tunnel with the ogre as the reason they never stuck with the game.
Oh yeah, but that wasn't even combat. That was just stealth. But yeah,
Yeah,
it
but
was
it's still
still, yeah. Man, I forgot
another.
about that bit.
That bit sucks. Believe me,
Yeah, it does.
I almost myself gave up on it, and I'm pretty tolerant of dumb ideas in games. So, it's a shame that people get to that point. I've heard Richard Cobbett call it being apologetic for the adventure game genre in Full Throttle when they try and, they try to expand. And I love Full Throttle, you know this. But the bike combat and the demolition derby, they aren't the strongest segments by a
They're
long
not,
way.
but here's the thing. I'm not an adventure game purist by any means. I mean,
I
I'm
know
open
that.
to the idea of having sequences like that in adventure games. And just in Full Throttle, I understand the demolition derby and the bike combat sequences because you're a biker. I mean, it would be weird to be, I don't know, be a biker and just solve puzzles. They made that whole big fuss about how, oh, comparing Ben and Bernard and how Bernard would be all nerdy and use logic and stuff, and Ben would just eat the sandwich and kick the door down. And
Right,
yeah,
Ben
there's,
Bernard would pick out the toothpick and
yeah, and do the whole slide the thing under the door thing.
correct.
But Ben's a big tough biker guy. There's only so many kicking puzzles you can do before making it, it's believable that Ben would get into biker fights. And
Oh,
yes,
absolutely. I'm not
the
the
biker
problem
fight.
is
See,
how
I
they
never, well, yeah, but I never had a problem with the biker fights on my old PC. I think it's a lot more to do with current hardware. That the last time I played Full Throttle, it took me a really long time because for some reason the lady that shows up that you have to throw dirt in her face didn't show up for,
fertilizer.
yeah, fertilizer. She didn't show up for a really long time. So, I mean, usually you can complete the mine road in, 10 minutes or so, but yeah.
I never really had a problem with the mine road, and then last time I played it, I was like, the cavefish guy, he sucks. He's
I
an
think,
asshole.
I really think it has to do with modern hardware and ScumVM not running it as it should be, because I never had a problem with it on my old machine. But even still, even though it's an action sequence, it's still an adventure game puzzle because you have to figure out what weapon works best and how to do this. It's not just, oh, let's have fights, let's beat people up. There's a
I
science,
think it's,
there's a logic
yeah, I
behind
think
it.
it's, I agree, but it's not as well flagged as a puzzle as it could be.
No, true, but
You
yeah.
know,
Same with the
because,
demolition derby. It's not just, oh,
well,
punch.
it's a, yeah, but
It's a
it's,
puzzle too. It's not very well telegraphed what you have to do,
no.
but yeah. It's still a puzzle.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I
And
agree, and
yeah.
I really like Full Throttle, so play it.
Yeah.
I
See,
played through it last year and loved it again.
compare those with, for example, the arcade sequences in Sierra games, like in Space Quest 1, which is actually pretty much what my current arcade sequence in my game is a rip-off of, basically, where you have to drive the skimmer and all you have to do is just avoid rocks, and it really serves no purpose except to be padding and to just say, okay, well, look, you're traveling from one place to another, let's have you drive the skimmer. And in Space Quest 4, it's the same thing. You have an arcade sequence where you have to make hamburgers for a fast food place to earn money. And okay, you get some money, but aside from that, it's really pointless. Whereas the LucasArts, like we just said, had a logic to it and were actually puzzles that made sense in a way. So, yeah, if you're gonna put in an action sequence, because if you have an adventure game, if you have a character who's, an adventurer, it'd be kind of weird for them not to do physical stuff at times. If you have an Indiana Jones game, look at Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. You had the different
Yes.
paths and you had the fists path, which, okay, yeah, it's standard combat, whatever. And it was optional, but still, it felt right because it was Indiana Jones. And even still, just like the team path and the wits path still felt right too because it was an adventure game, but yeah, it just, I don't know. Even crossing other genres, like, how would you feel playing a Tomb Raider where she doesn't raid any tombs? Oh, wait
Oh,
a
I already
minute. Oh, you
spoke
already
about
did.
that.
Sorry, that was a cheap shot.
No, she raids tombs in the Tomb Raider reboot, just not many of them.
Right.
They're a side thing.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, if you have a purely, if you have, a character who's or you have a situation where it seems logical to have to do some sort of physical action or some sort of action. As long as it's well thought out, I think it's
good. I don't think so much well thought out as much as it is well implemented.
Yeah, well implemented.
You know,
because right now
you can think something out really great. I've played a ton of games where stuff seems like a great idea, and you're like, man, this is really great. This is a cool idea. And then you play it, and it just, you're just like, this doesn't translate well.
Yeah, which is the problem I'm having, because honestly, I can't think of any other way that the character would be involved. And it's a double dilemma, because it's, not to spoil anything, and try not to spoil anything, but it's leading up to this event that you're helping out with, and to not show the event would be, I feel, a cop-out, because you're spending all this time preparing for it, and then to just gloss over it and say, okay, well, that went off without a hitch, it just seems like cheating the player. But then to involve the player in the event is immersive and good, but how do you do it without making it a bad action sequence?
By programming it well.
Well, yeah, but how do you
You got to put a lot of polish into it, you know.
Yeah. This discussion has helped me, because now I'm approaching it. Now I can sit down and think about it from a LucasArts design perspective instead of my problem was that I saw it from a Sierra perspective, but now if I think about it and I can think, how can I make this a puzzle? Then maybe that'll shine some light on things and help me out.
Okay.
Look at well, that. Our own podcast helped me out. What a concept.
Oh dear. It's all too much. It's all too much for me.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine.
I'm not really sorry.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you were going to say?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But yeah, I will say, like I said before, programming is a huge part of it. Look at like Mario games and Zelda games. They spend a lot of time balancing the thing to just make sure it plays right, you know? Whereas a lot of games I play some pretty obscure stuff, and you play it and you go, I can see exactly what you're trying to do, and it's just so badly implemented that I just can't stand to play it. So, you know, it's about that kind of that time that it takes. It's like it takes time to tweak puzzles and balance puzzles to get them just right, you know. Mm. It's more so even with action stuff, because you're engaging people's reflexes, and when, you know, people's reflexes are up to the test, they want to have a rewarding system.
What would you say about the real-time strategy bits in Brutal Legend?
I don't think that added anything to the game.
Do you think they should have been cut?
I don't think they should have been cut. I just think they should have been implemented better.
Hmm.
I've played a lot of real-time strategy games. You know, I don't call myself a hardcore RTS gamer, but I've played a ton of them. You know, I love StarCraft, I love Red Alert, I love all that good stuff. And it didn't hold up to any of those, you know. It's not Warcraft 4.
Yeah.
So that's the main issue I have with it, is that I'm a fan of the RTS genre.
Yeah. And I'm not,
I was working.
I didn't mind them. I mean, they weren't terrible, but I also felt that they didn't add much to the game. I went in thinking Brutal Legend was going to be just a standard hack and slash third-person fun platformer type thing.
Which I find hilarious, because I held off playing it for ages, because I'm like, I really, really do not need to play a Tim Schafer design RTS.
Yeah, well, He's good at writing.
What he's really good at, you know?
I bought it the day it came out, along with Uncharted 2, which, now that I think about it, it's pretty funny. And,
that is pretty fun.
Yeah. And then I read a review, and it was like, oh, guess what? This is really an RTS game. And I thought, oh, okay.
But I thought they made it really clear that it was an RTS.
I didn't know about it until I read a review after I bought the game.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Don't know.
It all depends on your marketing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Poor old Brutal Legend. It could have been so much better, but I enjoyed it as a game. But yeah, it's another one of those things where you've got an idea that's cute, doesn't make a good game, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel we're getting off topic.
Okay.
We're talking about
Rain Brutal us Legend. Back in then.
Yeah. Okay. I think a good idea when you're thinking of cutting stuff from your game is going back and rethinking what your game's supposed to be, you know, going back and looking, you know, at exactly what your goal is and what your vision for the whole project in, and then see if your little idea actually fits in with that vision, or if it's just some thing that you've added, and you go, hang on a minute, this doesn't really represent how I want my game to be at the end. That's
again,
you know,
I cite the crazy Japanese game show in Ben Jordan 5.
Okay.
It's completely out of left field, to be fair.
I think it matches the rest of the game. If by the rest of the game you mean, I mean the Easter egg.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, you know, I think it's one of those times where you have to go, this is my vision for the game, this is what I want my game to be. There are going to be parts which make my game, which help my game get to that, and there are going to be parts which stop it from reaching that sort of feeling. Is this one of the parts that matches my vision, or is it not one of those parts? You know, a lot of times when you play games that don't feel that great, you can tell that, like, there have been too many people trying to put their vision in at once, and visions get compromised and stuff like that, and it loses it. It's focus, you know, and so that sort of thing, you've got too many people trying to squeeze their ideas into a thing. I saw a video where someone, and actually Anatoly Boyoing, showed me this video where they talk about Doom versus Rage, you know, and how Doom was just this game that was built by just a handful of guys. And so the core vision of the game was really, really focused between what these four or five guys wanted to do, you know? And so you get this really, really, really tight experience because of that. Mm-hmm. Whereas Rage, the team's so big that every single guy is just one tiny gear in the machine, and you don't get that focus. And it feels... Rage does feel quite unfocused, you know? It loses a lot of that sort of tightness. Doom was real simple. You just shoot people. You know, and that's why it was good, because they focused on that. They didn't try and do all the extra cool stuff that Tom Hall wanted to do. They just made this really, really tight focused game. And even look at old adventure games from the 90s, man. The amount of people working on them wasn't a great deal compared to, like, man, watching credits these days takes forever.
Oh man, it really does.
You know, so you lose that focus.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
I would have to. I think the adventure game that I can remember with the longest credits that made me think, man, these are long credits, was Curse of Monkey Island. And it was only because after they listed the people who worked on the game, they went and they listed all the employees of LucasArts. They did that in Full Throttle too, but it wasn't that long. And then they had
Full Throttle didn't take that long to get through.
No.
Full Throttle was worth it because of the Easter egg afterwards.
Yeah, and the haikus.
Yeah. Haikus were great.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's a pretty important thing, is to keep in mind what your game is in your head, your core sort of interpretation, and see if the part that you're considering cutting, or if you're considering adding before you even cut it, does that match that, or does that not match that? And go from there.
Yeah.
That's my advice, personally. As someone that's only cut a few things from Queen, but I've just cut stuff, you know. There have been stuff where I'm like, no, this doesn't work. Yeah. I'm wrong.
Well, I cut a whole game in the Ben Jordan series because it...
And I think you were right to do so, having told me about the game, you know.
Yeah, well,
you had an idea for the series. Dave was the same with Black Widow. You know, he had stuff that he thought about doing, and
you just don't have enough game to make it.
Right. You're stretching an idea out.
Exactly.
That's never a good thing.
No.
So, and I think people have said this, and I really agree with this. It's good that Dave said, you know what, David said this in interviews. He's like, I could have done like Spook of the Week thing and have, you know, have like a little mini Blackwell game every few months, but it would be, you'd turn it into like a sort of, just a kind of Telltale Sam and Max kind of like, it's cute, it's fun, but
yeah, but it
doesn't
of,
present,
no,
it's fun, it's cool in a comedy game, man, because you get your little funny thing every...
Sure, yeah, but in a game like Blackwell, it would cheapen the experience.
If you're trying to tell a serious story, you're probably going to not help.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's, yeah, I think it's important. If you're going to do, if you're going to do a series or a sequel or whatever, actually more of a series, because if you do a sequel, I mean, I'm of the belief that you shouldn't do a sequel to a game that tells a whole story, unless you just really, really like the environment and want to bring the character back for whatever reason. But if you have a self-contained story that can be told in one game, I see no reason to make a sequel to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. No way, man. People have asked me about a sequel to Piss. People have said, you have to make a sequel to Piss. And I said,
yeah.
Why? I said, we haven't seen the end of Moira's story. I said,
wait,
but...
did you just say absolutely no way, as in absolutely I agree with you, no way you shouldn't make a sequel, or absolutely no way I disagree with you completely?
Well, it depends on the case, but I mean absolutely no way in my case. Because
right.
I told a story about a character, and the whole point about character development is by the end of the story, the thing that makes her interesting is gone.
Sure.
That's the thing. That's the thing that drives the story. That's gone now. There's nothing interesting about that character.
Right, so
you
told
know?
Your story, there's no need to make a sequel. That's how I feel.
It's like the film Children of Men.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to the end of the story,
mm-hmm.
and...
Oh, look at you quoted citing films that you've seen now. How cute.
Dude, I've talked about films quite a bit on this podcast. Thank you very much.
I'm just lording over the fact that I recommend... Well, a lot of people recommended it to you.
Yeah, you and everyone.
Yeah, but it's a good movie. I'm glad you've seen it.
You get to the end of the film, and the story could be taken from there.
Yeah.
Like, the main driving plot element for the actual story, the actual plot element doesn't get resolved.
Actually, really,
yeah.
It's more of a
MacGuffin. It doesn't... It never gets resolved. You never find out what happens. And that's
yeah.
perfect, because you don't need to find out what happened. The
sure.
director realized this isn't what makes the film what it is. The film is about one character's story, and that is over. You know, that
right.
part of the film is over. He's made that transition that he needs to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying desperately not to spoil anything. But he makes... A change
well,
in his life. He changes the character. And
if any listeners of our podcast have not watched Children of Men, go jump off a building.
Well, that's a bit harsh. You know what's easier? Rent or buy Children of Men and watch it.
Buy it. It's definitely
wow.
a film you should have in your collection.
It's a good film. I enjoyed it a lot.
Good. Anyway, yes. But yeah, I think... First and foremost, you should definitely just consider your story and how many games you're going to need to tell your story. Because if you start off like me, who's just like with Ben Jordan, just thinking, oh, I want to make a game about a paranormal investigator. This should be fun. And it almost was a Spook of the Week Scooby-Doo thing for the first two games. And then I thought, okay, well, I'll make this a finite story. That's when it started getting
yeah.
interesting. That's when everybody starts saying that they start enjoying the series from the third game on, because that's when I decided that there was going to be something to it.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
there gets a point where you stop focusing on like, okay, I just want to make a game, to where
yeah.
you go, right, I really want to tell a story.
But it's like the conversation we've had with TV shows, whereas, like you say, if it's a comedy game and it's just characters that you have and it's just, you know, throwaway plots and you're just in it for a good time, then fine, make as many as you want. Whatever, you can interchange. But if it's more serious, then yeah, you should know where to end, because otherwise it's going to get just drawn on. Like we were talking about Dexter versus Breaking Bad. I have yet to see an episodic game that goes the direction of Dexter, that just introduces a bunch of loose plot threads that go nowhere. But yeah, it's all about just yeah, finding your limit. But yeah, sometimes even in those cases, yeah, you have to cut stuff, cut a game or cut an idea or just figure out what we need to do.
Okay.
I'm just rambling now because I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I gotta say something awesome just happened in Sin, so I didn't listen to much of that.
Well, what else is new?
This is great. Man, this is a cool game. Yeah. So
I didn't say anything that I haven't been saying for the past 20 minutes.
Okay. Alright, I'll say this. I'm just going to say something totally new. I've just realized that Deus Ex is a Sin fan game.
Is it?
No, not really. But Sin is a cool first-person shooter. If you've... Oh, wow. Look at this.
Neither can our listeners, because this is an audio podcast.
Play Sin. It's on Go. Don't. It's a really funny game. It's pretty bad. But it's bad in like a good way where you can see that they had amazing ideas. So yeah. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, guys, make your games. Please, games are awesome. We need more of them. Make them.
Yeah, make them. But don't
but
know when to
learn
things.
When to say enough's enough.
Yes.
Learn when to say, you know what? I think I've done enough.
It's just like when you order a pizza and you're waiting and you're hungry and the pizza arrives and you're given the pizza and you open up the box and you see it and it's delicious and it's cheesy and it's gooey and it's delightful. And you eat a slice and you're like, oh, this is good. And then you eat another slice and you're like, wow, this is still good. And then you eat another slice and you're like, oh, yeah, this is good. And then you have the fourth slice. You're like, well, I've gone through half the pizza, and I'm pretty full, or at least I could stop eating right now, but there's so much more pizza. And then you end up eating the whole thing, and then you feel terrible. And so it's just like making games. You need to know when to stop.
I was sitting there for about 3 minutes wondering where this analogy is going to go. I'm like, where's this going? Is there a point to this?
There is a point to it. You need to know. No. You need to practice self-control. You need to know when to stop, because if you put all your ideas in the game, and it'll become just as bloated and horrible as you after eating
as an
entire
man
pizza.
Eating pizza.
If you eat an entire pizza in one sitting, what's wrong with you? Jesus.
Okay, I went to a conference once, and I was sharing a room with a bank manager who was a friend. We were like, you know, you kind of get buddies in the industry.
Sure.
And he and I were sharing a hotel room, and he went out drinking, and I was like, oh, dude, we got the conference tomorrow. We got a big meeting. You know, we're going to be there with the CEO and everything like that of the entire bank. We got to behave. But he was like, oh, I don't care. I'm going to go out drinking. So he went out drinking, got back in at like 1 in the morning or 1:30 or something ridiculous like that, and was like, dude, we need pizza. I'm like, well, I'm not going to say no. I like pizza. So he ordered, not pizza, two pizzas.
Oh, dear. Did you eat one?
No.
Okay.
No, I ate my pizza. And then he's like, he ate like two slices and was like, oh, I'm not going to eat all this. I'm like, dude, you know me. I can't stand food going to waste.
So you ate your entire pizza all but two slices of his pizza.
I cannot stand food going to waste. It's the most disgusting thing to me.
There's this magical thing that's been invented. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called refrigeration.
Yeah, we were in a hotel room and we were leaving. It was our last thing.
You didn't have a fridge in your hotel room?
No.
Most hotels.
Well, like I said, we were leaving. Like, that was it. Mm. We were done. It was the conference was the thing. We end the next day and then we're out.
Okay.
So, I did what I had to do.
And how did you feel afterwards?
I slept well. Oh man, I'm just saying this. I'm not condoning it, but I'll say it's a thing I've done in my life. So yeah. So don't talk to me about eating too much pizza, because I know, I've been there, man. I've seen some things. I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't go there. But you
Well, didn't. You're wrong, because I did. And I know at least one listener or two listeners that'll be like, yeah!
Mm-hmm.
Reference to a film.
Yeah.
He's getting there. He's growing as a person.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's growing as a person, all right, if he's eating that much pizza.
I You know what was really weird? I remember oh, here's a terrible, terrible story. I ate KFC for a
Oh,
week
well,
straight and lost 10 kilograms.
if we're telling terrible stories, I can come back around and tell my terrible story. But yes, tell yours. Or was
I
that
just
it?
did. I ate
Oh.
KFC for a week straight and I lost 10 kilograms. I got
I
back home
know
and
that
everybody
story.
was like, man, you're so skinny, Ben. I'm like, dude, there's no way I'm skinny. I just ate KFC for a week. I never want to see. And I haven't eaten KFC since because it's awful,
Yes, it
awful
is.
food.
It is awful food.
And
It has no
I lost
nutritional
10
value.
kilograms.
How do you think you lost 10 kilograms? Man, that's like 20 pounds.
I know. I
Well,
lost it.
that's a lot of weight to lose.
Yeah, it is. I got,
Man,
and that was like in one week.
Jesus, if I lost 20 pounds, I'd be
Yeah, but
like
you're
dead.
tiny.
Well, not that tiny. There's people who are tinier than me.
No, that doesn't.
Man, you know
That's not
Sandy
okay.
Chen?
Yes, I know Sandy. I've seen photos of her. She's tiny.
She's tiny. She weighs less than 100 pounds.
I don't know what that is in actual numbers. What noise was that?
That was me being frustrated by the inefficiency of the American measuring system.
We all feel that. Hi, Punch.
Makes me have to go to 45 kilo. She weighs less than 45 kilograms.
No, that's. Yeah, I know. I've got a cousin that weighs like 40 kilograms. She's like, pick me up with one arm. I'm like, okay. It's like, you weigh
Wait, did you?
nothing.
Yeah. Man, 10 kilograms is 22 pounds. Jesus.
Yeah.
Man.
And all through awful greasy KFC chicken.
Man.
Man, people are finding a lot about me.
I think, well, I already knew this about you. I've heard this story at least three times already.
It's an interesting story,
I guess.
I think.
Yeah. So let me tell you my terrible story now that we've completely gone off topic.
Yeah, no one was listening anyway.
Yeah, I know. So this is the story about the ship that sank. So when I was in
Oh yeah.
when I was in middle school, we took this field trip to go see this boat, this ship that
This
was
boat.
that was docked at the harbor. It was like the Juan Sebastian Elcano or something like that.
What
And it was
does that
in
mean? Or is that a name?
it's just someone's name.
Okay.
So we went to go see this ship, and there was like all the crew members were on, and they were like, "Hello, welcome to our ship. Look around." And it was all fun and exciting and stuff. And then we found out like a month later on the news that the ship had sank.
That's a sad story.
I don't know if if the crew died or what happened, how it sank. But then we were like, "Oh man." And then there was this one kid that was like a weirdo who was like obsessed with like death and war and stuff, and we were like, "I bet he sabotaged the ship."
While playing God of War.
No, this was when I was in middle school. This was like in 1994.
While playing Doom.
Probably Doom 2.
No, don't know.
Really? Wow. I'm surprised. Anyway,
What?
yes. You know what else we should cut? This podcast.
Good night.
Man, you're quick to abandon ship, no pun
No, I
intended.
agree with you. I'm just agreeing with you.
I know,
That's
but
this is what I'm doing.
we have to do our promos. Well, we don't have to, but I like doing them because it makes me feel like we're a real podcast.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes,
It was
thanks.
very kind of you. We
Yes.
hope that you will join us for another podcast.
Yeah, except I don't know if we'll be doing another podcast next week because I'm getting back from
Oh,
GD. Well, I'm
we
getting back
got.
from GDC on Saturday morning, so I'm gonna be actually that might be fun to do like a podcast right when I get in from GDC and I'll be dead. And it'll be nighttime for you.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, okay, maybe we'll have a podcast next week. If not, we'll have one the week after that. But yes, thank you for listening. If you want to follow us at BCT underscore podcast to know about episodes. If you want to follow us individually, I am at Grundislav Games on Twitter.
And I am at Ben underscore 304 numbers.
Yes.
Not letters, not words. If you don't have a Twitter account, social media, dudes, get with it. It's modern world.
Sure. Yeah, and if you're at all interested in my game, A Golden Wake, pay attention to Twitter the next few days because I believe there's going to be some announcements made at GDC regarding, well, an
Okay.
announcement that's not going to surprise anyone really.
No.
But
No.
I'm pretty sure we're going to be announcing who is publishing the game.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So yeah. So yeah, stay tuned and we'll see you next week, I guess.
I hope
Goodbye.
so.
Yeah.
Good night.
Goodbye.